I keep hearing you say that the NHS hasn't been cut and it's protected. But if that's the case, why is the mental health trust that I work at had millions cut out of our budget? We've had services closed, beds closed, nurses made redundant, and that's left very seriously ill people without any care. Why has that happened?
Let me answer that. I mean, the truth is that we have not been happy with what's been happening in terms of funding for mental health. And that's why we changed the law and introduced something called parity of esteem, which means that mental health has to be treated on the same basis as physical health. But the reason that across the NHS, despite the fact the budget has been protected, it doesn't actually feel that way. If you're on the front line, if you're a doctor or nurse, it actually feels very, very pressured, is because the volume of activity has gone up dramatically. So compared to the last election 4 years ago, there are nearly a million more over 65s in the country, and that just creates massive pressure on hospital A&E departments.
But I think Emma's point is that it's all very well saying you ring-fenced the budget at the last election, but you knew that there would be increased demands on the NHS, so effectively there have been cuts.
Well, if you're saying we've had to make efficiency savings in order to deal with that extra demand, the answer is yes, because on a budget that's remained broadly static, we're doing nearly a million more operations every year, and that has mean we've had to do a lot more on a limited budget. But I do think Emma is right when it comes to mental health. Part of the result of the structures that we have in the NHS is that when you have that pressure, it tends to get sucked to where the targets are. And because there aren't targets or there haven't been targets in mental health, they've lost out. We've changed that, and we've now introduced for the first time, it was announced at the Lib Dem conference, a waiting times target for access to psychosis. We have managed to increase access to talking therapies, which is sort of one of the main treatments for depression and anxiety, quite dramatically. But I would agree with you, Emma, there is a lot more work to be done to getting mental health services
up to scratch. Can I come back on that?
Yeah, I do.
Those of us who work in mental health are sick and tired of hearing the words parity theme trotted out. The targets that you announced are worse than what we were providing for years ago. My background is in early intervention and psychosis. We used to see people within 2 weeks, young people with psychosis. That was part of the Department of Health guidance. We've not been able to do recently. Parity of esteem, the reality for people that we are trying to look after, that there's no beds. We've had people shipped out, sometimes not even in an ambulance, but in a police vehicle, hundreds of miles from Norfolk to Darlington, to Weston-super-Mare, to Manchester and Brighton. We've had people admitted onto a sofa because there are no beds. That's stressing for the person and for their family members, and it's embarrassing for us. We've had people left in police custody for over 20 hours because there's no bed, and we've had people dying, young people. The increased demand in our service isn't the over 65s. It's a lot more young people, all the factors that influence mental health, youth unemployment, all of those things. It is a crisis. NHS England, that voted for by creating the Health and Social Care Act, didn't increase funding for mental health by as much as for acute hospitals. So they are cut. So that is why, you know, Norman Lamley, well, we cover his constituency, but so those of us that are working there and people that we're trying to look after, we are sick of hearing about parity of esteem because we haven't got it. And we, you know, this was, we've been about people having to go hundreds of miles across the country in need of urgent care for a stroke or cancer. People will be taken to the street. So we think there must be stigma at play here because you've allowed this, probably thinking that people with mental health problems can't stand up for themselves. And it is absolutely appalling.
Well, that's quite Emma, that's quite a strong allegation. And Jeremy, how do you respond to that? Because I know a lot of people who work in mental health and they all think the same way that Emma does.
Well, I respond to it by being honest with you and, first of all, not denying what you're saying is happening, and also saying that it's not acceptable. But you also have to accept that we have had the most difficult financial environment in the NHS since it was founded in 1948. And in that context, we took a very difficult decision to make the NHS the only big government department not to be cut. But we have this pressure of an ageing population, and it has been a very, very challenging few years. In that context, we are trying to do things to address the issues that you talked
but
about.
But why did you spend billions on the reorganisation of the Health and Social Care Act rather than give us money to buy people with the care and the beds that they need?
So
that was a choice that your government made, and we haven't got enough resources to look after people.
So the choice we made was to stop spending money on bureaucracy and back offices. And so as a result of that Health and Social Care Act, we got rid of the primary care trust and the strategic health authorities that were employing about 21,000 administrators. And we're now spending that money on 8,000 more doctors and 2,000 more nurses. So we're putting the money on the front line in order to meet that extra demand. But we also need to do something about the fact that we have a structure that, as you pointed out, sucks money into acute hospitals and away from mental health. And that's why we legislated on parity of esteem. But we always said it's going to take us some time to get there. I think we have started to make some progress, but I don't want to pretend that there isn't a long way to go.
Emma, you sound quite emotional.
It's horrendous here. It absolutely is. And that's not what I come into the NHS for.
OK, thank you very much indeed, Emma. One thing, I had Norman Lamb on earlier, a couple of weeks ago, and I suggested that maybe his title ought to be changed because there isn't a Minister for Mental Health at the moment. I mean, it's within his responsibilities, but he's not called that. Why don't you actually add that to his title? I know it would be just symbolic, wouldn't cost any money to do, but it would actually send a signal that this is actually being given increased importance within your department.
Well, I think that... to be honest, we have not had before a minister who has given the focus on mental health that Norman has. Mm. And as a result of that focus, we've had some huge steps forward. But, you know, as Emma says, there are still massive challenges on the front line. And it's clear that those changes aren't being felt everywhere on the front line. But I think it's not about gestures. It's about what changes on the front line now. And that's what we need to focus on.